Please take note, some listeners might find some of the language in this week's program offensive. This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for the week of August 20th, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, breaking down the fourth wall. Nick Flynn is probably best known for a memoir that came out a few years ago, Another Bullshit Night in Suck City, about his relationship with his homeless father. His poetry, too, is often intensely confessional. His mother's suicide has been a frequent subject. But the two poems we're going to hear Nick Flynn read today are confessional in only the most oblique way. The first is called Jesus Knew, and it portrays Jesus as a confused man burdened with a father he never knew and the knowledge that he is going to die. Nick Flynn says that the poem was partly inspired by a play he saw in New York.
By Will Eno, called Tom Paine.
It was a monologue, and the one character in the play
was very confrontational with the audience. He would sort of like break down the fourth wall often. And I just got interested in that form to apply it to poetry. So it would be much more of an active experience for the audience. So I read this in front of audiences, and it sometimes makes people uncomfortable because it seems like I'm asking them to participate in the poem.
So here's Nick Flynn reading Jesus Knew.
Unlike you and I, Jesus knew he'd die. Some days a headache woke him, it lingered, nothing terrible, but the word hung around his temples like this soul everyone wants but can't find. Jesus knew he'd die, he just didn't know how. And that bothered him sometimes, and then he'd do one of his little bootleg tricks. What the hell? Didn't hurt anyone, didn't make anyone disappear forever. But the tricks stopped working. He forgot why he did them and what for. He confused a story about a guy named Jesus with a story about a father he never knew. And it all began to hang like a moth-eaten coat pulled out of a trunk on shaky days. Hey, let's return to the scene of the fucking tragedy. At least we all know how it turns out instead of this endless uncertainty. Hey, let's sell our souls a few more times. No one's really counting. Those little papers you trade for your sins, what do you call them? Anyone? No? Anyway, Jesus this, Jesus that, God of nickel, God of dime, right. The real Jesus, he was lost. He walked into the desert. Not far, really, his friends, his disciples. He told them he'd come back. Like us, he said this every time he left, but Jesus never said wait. Never pointed to the sky, never claimed he'd rise again, never asked us to eat his flesh. Jesus never asked anything, as far as I can tell. He got tired every day and then slept, sometimes okay, sometimes unbearable. The dreams, the Father, pointing a finger at everyone, a finger we can't even look at.
Jesus Knew by Nick Flynn, who says that when he reads this poem in front of an audience, the uncomfortable moment is that question.
Those little papers you trade for your sins, what do you call them? Anyone? No?
It may not be as dramatic as dragging someone on stage, but in a public reading, it does break down that fourth wall between poet and audience.
At readings at different points, it was a little awkward for me too, because I sort of will look out at the audience and sort of say this, and people will sort of suddenly come snap out of their reverie and think like, am I supposed to answer this? And occasionally people will yell out something, or occasionally they won't, and I'll just sort of go on.
And what do you call them? I don't even know.
I don't think I knew when I did it, but I think they're called, I do know the name actually now. They're called, and now I've forgotten the name of them. I wasn't raised Catholic, so.
This is even worse than Jeopardy, isn't it? I can just feel you podcast listeners just screaming the answer into the void.
Little papers you trade for your sins. Yeah, I know the word for it, too.
Yeah. Indulgences.
Exactly.
Indulgences, yes. Yeah.
And so did you write this poem thinking of reading it for an audience and how you would deliver it to an audience?
I was very inspired by that play by Tom Paine. It's a great play. And he, you know, that line is actually taken from him. Anyone know? Like, he actually would say something. He says that a couple times in the play, sort of, and looks out at the audience, and we all sort of. So it's completely plagiarized.
A sin for which he might need one of those indulgences. In any case, Nick Flynn says that breaking down the fourth wall and making his audience uncomfortable is just one way to get at what he really wants.
Most of I'm very interested in active reading rather than passive reading. I think it's really actually almost a political stance or a moral stance. I think there's so much in the culture right now that is leading people into passivity and leading people into just sort of blindly accepting things. And so to make an experience of art as active as possible seems to be an important thing to do right now.
Which brings us to our next poem called Self-Exam, My Body is a Cage.
I would really like people to actually do what I tell them to do in this poem. So I sort of give commands in the poem.
Here's Nick Flynn reading that poem.
Self-Exam, My Body is a Cage. Do this. Take two fingers. Place them on the spot behind your ear, either ear, the spot where your skull drops off, into that valley of muscle and nerve. That is the muscle that holds up the skull, that turns the dumb bone this way and that, that nods your face up and down when you think you understand, when you think you get it. Press deeper, touch the little bundle of nerves buried there, buried in the gristle, the nerves that make you blink when the light bewilders you, that make your tongue slide in and out when you think you're in love, when you think you need a drink. Touch that spot as if you have an itch. Close your eyes and listen. Please, close your eyes. Can you hear it? We think our souls live in boxes. We think someone sits behind our eyes, lording in his little throne, steering the fork to the mouth to the tit. We think hungry children live in our bellies and run out with their empty bowls as the food rains down. We sometimes think we are those hungry children. We think we can think anything, and it won't matter. We think we can think, cut out her tongue, and then ask her to sing.
Nick Flynn reading Self-Exam, My Body is a Cage. The end of that poem touches on the power of our thoughts. Or maybe he's talking about the lack of power of our thoughts. There seems to be some ambivalence there.
We think we can think anything and it won't matter. That sort of seems to suggest that the narrator thinks that we can't think anything. But I don't know if I believe that. Like I'm sort of playing a lot with thoughts that I don't necessarily stand behind or philosophies.
Mm-hmm. The way I read that, when you said we can think anything, we think that our thoughts have no effect on the outside world. That's the way I read that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I read it that way too. And half of me believes that, and then half of me thinks, well, we can think anything. You know, why should we? I wouldn't want to censor anyone's thoughts, really. Mm-hmm. That seems like the opposite of that seems just as dire. So it's a paradox at the end, mm-hmm. really.
Well, since you had a Jesus poem earlier, that's what Jesus basically says when he says, if you're adulterous in your heart, you're adulterous. He's saying your thoughts are real.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I completely agree with Jesus at that moment. Because I think that, the idea of it leads us into very interesting places to just sort of be aware of what our thoughts are and to like suddenly be aware like, oh, why would I think that? And then to follow that into some corridor that you hadn't dared to go down before, I think is really an important thing. You know, the Buddhists say that our deeds are our only true belongings. And so it's really what we do, I think, is much more significant than what we think.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, I think. I'm not sure. That's what I think right now.
You can read what Nick Flynn is thinking, or at least what he was thinking when Grey Wolf Press published two books of his poetry. They're called Some Ether and Blind Huber. Put your thoughts into action, email us, and let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is...
You should never explain a poem, but it always helps nevertheless.
Our email address is podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.